All right, man. This is another installment of the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. We have got a special, special guest on the podcast. Come on, reintroduce yourself to the audience. Let them know who you are.
Well, it's good to be back. My name is Seamus Pouts. I'm also a Weird Pastor's Kid. I know we've had a lot of those on the podcast from episode to episode. I am glad to be back for this one, especially this particular episode. When you contacted me about this idea, I about jumped out of my seat and was ready to go. I was like, this is something I'm an expert in.
So guys, we are going to go on a journey. Okay, so what are we going to do? I want you guys to understand, the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast, we've been taking a lot of serious topics, and we're still going to do those. Don't get me wrong. We're going to do those on Wednesdays, but I want to release episodes on Saturdays as well. And the Saturday ones that we're going to release are going to be the fun episodes. We're going to go through different things, talk about different things. Some is going to be sports. Some is going to be, right now, we're going to be talking about, you know, going through some movies and things of that nature. But I'm going to let you guys know that you guys are going to listen to me, Shelton Williams, go through Star Wars, because I have not, well, as I'm recording this, I've only seen 2 episodes and I just watched them last week, but I don't know anything about Star Wars.
Let me get this straight, just for our audience here.
Yes.
Before watching these episodes, before watching them, you had never seen a Star Wars movie. Is that what I'm gathering?
No, I had never seen any Star Wars movie. I did not understand references. Right. I didn't understand anything. Okay. Gotcha. So I didn't know. I didn't know anything about books. I didn't know there were books to this thing. I didn't know about comic book. Nothing. Literally went in blind. Okay.
So now you've got a lot of ground to cover, my friend.
Yes. Now, Seamus, on the other hand, is not like me. Okay. And Seamus has actually seen a few episodes, okay? And I wanted him on this journey with me to help me, okay? Help me understand everything dealing with Star Wars, okay? So yes. How much have you seen of the Star Wars and all that other stuff?
Well, let me lay out my credentials here, see why you chose me for this particular journey of yours to a galaxy far, far away. Okay, let's see. When I was, I think it was, when I was about 9 years old, I watched Star Wars Episode 1 for the first time, and I had that on VHS. That's Star Wars episode, like, that's The Phantom Menace. That's, like, not even dealing with what we're talking about here. But that's when I fell in love with Star Wars. And from that point, through my high school years, through my college years, I've read several of the books. I've read some comic books. I have been a faithful reader of the Star Wars Wikipedia page, also called Wookiepedia. it's a real thing. I've seen pretty much every major Star Wars movie release. Fun fact, I had not seen a Star Wars movie in theaters until the most recent Disney releases, but we'll get into that. But I've seen every major Star Wars release. I know probably more than the average person about Star Wars. I mean, there are a lot bigger Star Wars fans than I am, but I feel like I'm pretty qualified to at least let somebody know who's never seen them before how it all goes down.
Exactly. Thank you, because I know nothing. And so this is why I had Seamus. I said, listen, he's the first person I thought of. I said, hey, Seamus, I'm going to go through watching the Star Wars films. Will you come along on this journey with me? And I was extremely excited that he was like, yes. So,
dude, just the concept. This is the fact that, first of all, I don't know if I believe you. Second of all, it's just the fact that I get to share this aspect of, like, something that I grew up with, and this aspect that a lot of people love, and the fact that you're willing to learn about it and willing to possibly even enjoy it as much as if not more than some other people, that's a great, like, the fact that you're somebody who's never seen it but actually wants to see it, that's what really speaks to me. And that's what really made me want to do this with you. This is going to be an exciting time.
Oh, yes. It's going to be super exciting. Mm. Now, for some of you, you're probably wondering, okay, why, Shelton, have you never seen these films? I mean, these films have been going, they've been out since 1977. Like, where have you been all your life? Okay, what's going on? Okay, now, I'll explain this a little bit. I honestly, the people that I saw that love Star Wars, like really, really love Star Wars, they just seem to be the type of people that I did not want to be associated with. Okay, guys? There was a time in my life that I was like, okay, those things must be for nerds, okay? And I'm not a nerd. I'm cooler than that. So I am going to do this other thing, right? Then someone pointed out to me, and they're like, Shelton, you think this is nerdy, right? We're watching like Star Wars and all this other stuff, but yet you can tell me all the stats for this sports person that scored all these points and know all of these things. That's kind of nerdy too. And yes. I was like, I began to think, and I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. Okay. So then, this person told me this years ago. And so finally, when Disney Plus came, Disney Plus came on, and maybe we could have a whole episode about the good and the bad of Disney Plus. But anyways,
I got my opinions on Disney Plus. Yeah, again.
But needless to say, when I saw, I said, man, they have all the Star Wars on here. And finally, I literally have no excuse not to watch these films.
Absolutely.
So I said, you know what? Let me watch it. Let me not be the guy that thinks he's too cool for school, and let me go ahead and watch these films. Because one, I've always been intrigued by it, because Star Wars is something that it has an intense fan base. Just as much as I love the Marvel films, there are people that are super dedicated to when it comes to Star Wars, everything Star Wars.
Yes.
So I decided, let me go ahead and take some time out of my busy day and watch these films, okay? And you will get real life reactions. Now, there are some funny reactions if you want to go on my Instagram page when I first started watching the film. And it's actually still, I have it up on my Instagram, and which is so sad. I should probably know my Instagram name, but I don't. But Singing Boy 12. Okay, go to Singing Boy 12 on my Instagram. I have a little video there of me reacting to episode 4.
Right.
But we got to talk about it. Let's talk about episode 4.
Let's talk about episode 4, A New Hope.
Yes. Let's talk about this, okay? Now, from a guy who went in blind, okay? Let me tell you how confused I was when the film starts off with narrative text, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is crazy because for me, I'm looking at this going, okay, one, why is this text going like the other direction? Okay. Two, is this really important? Do I have to read this? Okay. And three, I was like, this is a whole lot of detail. Okay. In a short amount of time. And I'm just like, why do I have to read all of this? Okay. So I went in blind. And let me ask you this. Okay. Let me ask this, Mr. Seamus. You know everything about this, right? Yeah. But the narrative text is, a calling card for the Star Wars films, something that they're known for. And why exactly do they have it? Could you kind of break that down for me?
Okay, so the narrative text, or the opening crawl, as they're lovingly called by fans, the opening crawl of Star Wars, just because it's the text crawl and it's like going slowly, it is definitely a tradition set by the first episode, by Star Wars. I'm looking up on the looking up on the Wikipedia page right now, because I'm actually very curious about that myself. But it actually is taken from something that some other sci-fi elements as well. Old school Flash Gordon movies is something that had an opening crawl as well, and it takes it from that. It's kind of this really interesting way to kind of set the scene for what you're about to see, because, you know, otherwise if they just throw you into a space movie, you're just like, you're completely lost. You don't know who's this giant guy with a cape who's breathing funny. Who are these, who's this shiny guy? Who's this little droid? Who's the girl with the buns in her hair? This the opening crawl kind of introduces you to these characters that up until this point was completely just a completely foreign concept to people. So it's kind of, it gives it that feel of this episodic sci-fi fantasy crawl, sci-fi fantasy chapter, basically. Actually, a fun fact about, you mentioned it starts with episode 4. In the original 1977 release of Star Wars, there was no episode 4.
Yeah, because this is the first film in the whole franchise.
Yes, this was the first film in the whole franchise. It was called just Star Wars. Episode 4, A New Hope, wasn't added until 1981 when it was re-released in theaters.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So they added that after plans for a sequel had been made. So, like, yeah, the opening crawl is kind of just this. First of all, you have the really great orchestral music done by John Williams. It sets you in the mood, and it opens you up to this long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Okay. Now, here's something I found interesting, too. And I think I mentioned this, or I shared this with you just a few minutes ago, if we're honest. But what I saw was that, imagine you were in the theater, okay, for the first time in 1977, okay? Yes. And you were jumped into this film. And let's say you were eating popcorn or you were doing something else and you missed this, what you call it, opening prologue?
The opening crawl.
Yeah, opening crawl, right? You missed that, right?
Right.
Did you know that the only time in the only time you were able to like rewatch that film, you had to actually get a ticket and watch it again?
That's okay. Right.
Because back in that time, there wasn't any VHSs. There weren't anything for that film at the time. So the very first time that a VHS for the original Star Wars came out was not until May 25th. It wasn't until May of 1982. So I want you to put this in perspective. The movie came out in May of 1977.
Mm-hmm.
The next time you could actually own a VHS to rewatch that film again was May of 1982.
it's pretty crazy, actually, too. That's probably why it had so many, that it sold, one of the reasons it sold so many tickets was people wanted to rewatch this movie. People wanted to see, okay, what did I miss in this opening crawl?
Yes.
Because Google wasn't a thing back then, or yes, there wasn't any way to research what it was being said. Like right now, I have the opening crawl like written in front of me right now, because, you know, we have the internet. But like in 1977, in order to read this again, in order to catch all of the little notes or little references, you have to rewatch the movie. So that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why this movie was such a huge success when it came out.
Exactly. So I wanted to give the audience some context, okay? Because I only just started looking up some of this stuff too recently. But what I found interesting is not only the opening crawl, right? The opening crawl, that was great. I'm seeing all this stuff. And I'm reading this, and I was like, this is really detailed. Like, it began to tell you about Rebels, and it started telling you about the Death Star. And I'm like, what is all this stuff? Like, I was really, you know, confused by that. And then I got even a little bit more confused because the film opens up and jumps you into war right away. Like, immediately into war. And honestly, I didn't know who was good or who was bad. Okay? So they threw me in. I'm like, wait a minute. And the only reason why I knew something was bad or who was bad, kind of, because I saw Darth Vader coming in. And I was like, okay, I don't know much about Star Wars, but I do know that he's supposed to be on the bad side.
Right.
Okay.
I think another thing that helps, and I've mentioned it before already, I think another thing that helps you realize who's good and who's bad in this movie is the musical score.
Okay. Yes.
And if you watch the movie again, you'll see when Darth Vader enters, when the stormtroopers enter, they have this score, this da da da, this just like this very ominous trumpet score that like lets you know, hey, this is the big bad. This is who we have to worry about. So you got it. You have to give credit to the score of John Williams. And I'm not really saying anything unknown. Like a lot of Star Wars fans, a lot of movie fans know that John Williams is a musical genius, and he is a big reason why this movie is a success.
Wow. Okay. And also another question. I forgot to mention this earlier. Okay. So this is coming from a person who's never watched Star Wars. So some of these questions might sound dumb to Star Wars fans. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, I'm ready for it.
But in the opening film, when it was talked about, like, that this story happened a long time ago in a land far, far away, but this is why I was confused about, because Star Wars seems to be a story in the future, but yet it seemed as if when you opening up, it said it happened a long time ago. So then is it like a whole different timeline? Like, what exactly or why exactly is that mentioned when you're talking about the story?
That brings up a great point about what Star Wars is as a genre. Let me ask you something. What genre would you say Star Wars is?
I guess sci-fi. I guess that's what you would call it.
That's that's what a lot of people say. But the actual kind of Star Wars, in some ways, is sci-fi, but in more ways, is actually more of a space fantasy. It has more in common with, say, Lord of the Rings than it does Star Trek. The only thing it kind of has that's more futuristic, so to speak, is spaceship, I guess, and some blasters and stuff. But if you look at like the ideas of the Force and the ideas of like this ancient like societies and like creatures that live hundreds of years, that's more of a fantasy setting. And like that's why I consider Star Wars to be a space fantasy. And a lot of people do too. It's because that's what the long time ago in a galaxy far, far away kind of helps with, to get your mind out of the fact that this didn't take place in the future. This took place somewhere far away that has been around for way longer than we've been around. It's just the story of this. You take dragons and you replace them with TIE fighters. You take knights, you replace them with Jedi. You take all these different aspects and you replace them with things from this fantasy setting.
Okay, that helps me. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So, okay, when you're going to this film, right, you're going into the film, you're seeing this off for the first time.
Right.
Why do you think that they start Star Wars in the middle of a civil war? Why do you think they never had the mindset or the forethought to actually say, hey, let's actually lay the groundwork of this fantasy world, so to speak, as you're mentioning, and then introduce us to the Civil War? Why do you think that they brought us into the middle of that Civil War for this film?
Well, if you want the cynical answer, I will say it's probably the sell ticket. Because there's a lot of people that love Star Wars when it came out because it starts in the heat of the action. If you took all this time to like, say, set up like why the Galactic Civil War is happening, who Darth Vader is, who is in charge of Darth Vader, how did the Death Star get built, all these different things. This is something hardcore fans love, but that what the initial reason for this movie was not garner a hardcore fan base. It was to sell tickets. It was to like tell a compelling story that people would love to watch, eat their popcorn, and say, oh, that's really cool. It's not necessarily for, people to say, okay, well, now I need to go and, dig deep into the lore and everything like that.
Okay. Now, but this is what I found was crazy, right? Episode 4, and maybe I should put this, no, I will ask it here, because I'll keep going about it. So, but if Episode 4 was the only movie, wouldn't you think this would be like, it would be kind of not anticlimactic, but it would feel like not done, not finished, right?
Oh, absolutely. It was definitely written with potential to continue and with a lot of heavy backstory. But the thing about it is, some of the best stories ever written have been written with a lot of backstory that like you never see, because like in order to tell a good story, you have to have a good foundation. And that's what, like, that's what the creators of this movie did. The Civil War, all this different thing, it's the backdrop, it's the setting. And that's why people grasp onto it so easy, because it was like going into another world that had all these things. You're like, what's this? What's that? But it had all these things set in place that you weren't quite sure. And it didn't like spell it out for you, because they wanted it to feel like, you know, it was already lived in. Not that you were coming to it for the first time and it was brand new.
Bro, you said a mouthful, because that's exactly how I felt. Because I felt like, okay, it wasn't so much of explaining to me or the audience, so to speak, what everything was. It's like, no, this is the world that we live in.
Yes.
And you'll figure. And it's almost like if I got dropped, let's say that for some reason I got dropped in the Spain, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden I'm not, you know, no one's explaining to me what's going on. It's like, this is the world we live in, you know, and I'm just walking around like, okay, there's this and there's that. And there's like, oh, okay, this is cool. And this, so it was like a lot more of that than there was like explaining like, okay, this building's here because of this, or these people are here because of that. So I feel like that's kind of more how the film was. It kind of dropped you into this world.
Yes.
And I find, and I don't know about you, but I find the world of Star Wars fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Like, that's part of the reason why I love it so much.
The world itself is like, it's so cool, because like, to me, what I found so cool about it was like, there's certain things, like I said, that it's a world that exists without no explanation, right?
Yes.
So you had like, I was like, well, who are the Jawa? Like those little creatures, right, that captured the droids.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they sold him to Luke Skywalker, I'm just like, it was as if the movie is saying, there are these things called Jawas that sell. We're not going to explain why they're there, but we're just going to tell you that they're there in this world.
They're just a part of this world. And yes. Yeah, again, and like the Jawas are another example of just like, just this is part of the world, and they don't put subtitles on what the Jawas are saying.
Yeah.
Like, are expected to, like the people that live there are just know what they're saying because they picked up the language, because they're just a part of that world. And another thing about like what makes it so like what makes it feel like just real is, tell me something. Did you think that the ships, the buildings, did they look clean?
I never even thought about that, to be honest.
Really?
Did they look clean?
Did they look like just like a set? Did they look like, tell me, did you notice like things like maybe some burn marks or some dirt, just a lot of things that were dirty, a lot of things that were like say when you get into the Millennium Falcon, I know that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but like you notice how kind of worn out everything kind of
looks. Yeah, it did look like that, yeah.
It's that same aspect of a world that's lived in. Like if a guy, if a guy that maybe lived in his ship, it lived in his ship for several years, it's not going to look super clean. It's just a guy and like his partner, like living in the ship. It's not going to be super clean all the time, unless he was a neat freak, which, you know, we talking about the person I'm talking about, he wasn't. So like, it just gives it that added layer of realism, just kind of with a little layer of dust and dirt that makes it feel more lived in.
Yeah, it
makes you feel more realistic.
You're absolutely right. I think that's kind of what the tone or the setting, they really want to make sure you understood this isn't, I mean, we know it's make-believe, but they didn't want it to seem as if it was. Like, they wanted to say, like, this is a real world that people live in, and I love that about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk about these characters, okay, I've never fell in love with characters that weren't human as much as I have in this particular movie, like this movie, man.
Star Wars will do that to you, man.
Okay. How do you feel about the droids? Okay, because to me, the droids carried this film in the first like quarter of this film was absolutely carried by these droids. Okay.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing too, because after this big action scene and everything, the movie basically slows down and allows you to get to know these two characters and takes its time letting you get used to these characters that frankly aren't human. Like this, yes. There's a shiny robot guy and this little trash can that doesn't even speak English. So we have to actually like understand what he's saying by way of the shiny robot guy, by way of C-3PO. So like it takes time introducing you to the droids, and they do essentially carry the movie, and they are the reason why the movie starts where it does. Basically, they are under like the rebel ship gets under attack, and in order to escape, these two droids go in an escape pod, and they escape to a random planet that's not like under anybody's radar.
Right.
Yes, and the reason why they've escaped is because they're holding plans to this weapon that apparently the Empire has. So they're trying to get this weapon to somebody important. So that's their mission, basically. And you basically get to know these droids, and it's mainly because of the actors portraying the droids that you get to know them as well.
Man, the relationship between these droids are absolutely hilarious to me.
Yes.
Like, they're so funny, and yet it's like, I don't know, man. I've never met characters that it's just literally the beginning of the film that made me go, I love these guys. Like, I love these guys. It's like, yes. A lot. Like,
it was, you know, like the classic comedy duos of like Laurel and Hardy and Abbott and Costello. Basically, that's kind of where they were taking the cues from. The, you know, the kind of the straight man with C-3PO, mm-hmm. and you have kind of the comic relief with R2-D2, who kind of knows a little bit more than he lets on.
Yeah, like he never really says everything sometimes. Like he gives you a little bit and then he tells you a little bit more later. But it was absolutely fascinating. So I loved that. And all of these characters, I felt like there was no character that was a useless character.
Right. Absolutely. Like all of the characters served a like solid purpose in the film.
Oh, man. Everything was purposeful. And then, but here's the crazy part. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you can try to tell me, like, direct me differently.
Okay.
But even though this movie was called Star Wars, I felt as if the movie was really, you could have called it Luke Skywalker.
And
it still would have been, like, because I feel like the film, even though there's all these other characters, I feel like it's really a story about the transformation of Luke Skywalker.
Absolutely. It's the beginning of the typical hero's journey, only told in such a way as to make it unique. Luke Skywalker is just a perfect character where you can say, oh, I could picture myself in this role. Or I could see how he's going to go on this journey. He starts out like with as basically a kid with these ambitions of being a pilot. And he wants to get off this farm that he's been living on this whole time. And he's basically, the entirety of Star Wars, like from episode 1 to episode 6 is the story of the Skywalkers. Like that's, you basically hit it right on the head.
Bro, and I've never, Luke Skywalker is another character that I was rooting for throughout the whole film. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely rooting for, because I liked him. Like, there's some movies when they introduce the hero and you're kind of like, oh, I don't really care so much about you, but I care about everything else. But him, he's a hero that I actually like to see his transformation, because he went from a guy who was a farmer to someone that ended up being the hero.
Exactly. Keep going, sorry.
No. What were you gonna say about it?
Well, I was about to say that the reason why probably that you rooted for him, part of the reason why people do root for him is because he's a relatable character. He's a flawed character. He's scared. Sometimes he's whiny. Sometimes he's not sure of himself. And these are all things that like we can kind of relate to. It's like, I've been there. Yeah. Obviously, if I'm in this bar with a bunch of these like seedy individuals, I'm going to be scared to death too. Oh no, that guy just got his arm cut off. I freaked out. So it's Luke. Like, it's one of those things.
Yeah, and man.
He's a very relatable character.
I think that's what it was. And that's what I loved about like his story and his journey. And then what I love about the film is it gives you, it's kind of like a teaser. They give you teasers throughout the whole film. Like when they mentioned about his father, right?
Yes.
And all, he has a lot of his father in him. Or, and the uncle's like, well, that's what I'm afraid of. And so you're trying to figure out, well, what is this about his father? Like they give you little things in the film to have you more interested in it. And even though I feel as if this movie, I don't know if they were thinking so much about maybe a sequel until maybe it, you know, the film became so popular. Oh, let's make a sequel to it. Right. But what I find very interesting is that they laid the groundwork so perfectly.
Yes.
To fill in some of those gaps. And guess what? They still don't fill everything up. And even in each other film, it's like, we're going to keep giving you a little bit and I'll give you a little bit more. And there's still more layers to Star. That's what this is what I love about Star Wars. There's so many layers to the film that I feel like I'm never at the core yet.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That you have just explained why people who watched it originally in 1977 still love it today, because there are still answers to questions that we are only just now finding out. In 2019. I'm not joking. There is a particular answer to a question that I'm going to get into maybe a little later on that we are only just now finding out more about in 2019.
That's crazy. Yeah,
it's insane. And it's part of the reason why Star Wars is such a good series is because they don't give you all the answers. They let you fill in the blanks. That's a great way to tell stories as well. They give you a lot of stuff and they give you a lot of stuff for you to fill in the blanks on.
Okay, now Skywalker is great, right? We love right. He is awesome, but let's talk about the princess for a second here.
Yes, Princess Leia.
Princess Leia did not get that much screen time in this film. And now we're talking about Episode 4, guys. For people that still are listening, make sure we understand. I understand. I have the concept that future films. It's going to be more. Okay, right. She's going to be in there more. But even though she wasn't in the film that much in this episode 4, to me, she stole every scene she was in.
Oh, absolutely. And that goes to, and a lot of that goes to, like, her portrayal by Carrie Fisher. And I don't know how much you've heard about Carrie Fisher, but she is an amazing lady. Or she was an amazing lady. She's recently passed.
Sad.
But like she was portrayed very well by Carrie Fisher, and like she took typical tropes of like this princess in distress, and she turned them on their head. Like we'll get into it later in the movie, but like she basically wasn't this typical damsel in distress. She was up there fighting for herself. She was like in charge of like this rebellion run. She was staring in the face of her demise, literally. Like she was staring the general in his face and just telling him off, and that's what makes her such a great character. I absolutely agree with that. She's an amazing character as well.
She was, like you said, she's not a damsel in distress. She's not I'm gonna wait for, and I know some people are gonna be mad that I'm saying, but it's like she's not gonna sit there and say, I'm gonna wait for some man to save me. She's like, no, right. I'm gonna save myself. I can do this for myself. You know what I mean? And what was interesting is that she was the best leader in episode 4.
She was definitely once she like got her bearings and once she, you know, she was, you know, on her own and everything, she was definitely the head of that group for sure. 100% agree with
it. What I love about it, right, is when they were trying to do this whole rescue mission, right? She's like, did you guys not come up with like a plan? Like what is,
like what are you doing?
And then when she like I guess she uses a blaster to shoot open so they can jump into the trash chute, where it was like she had to think of something on the fly because no one else was thinking of what to do.
Everybody else was shooting down the hallway. She shoots down the trash chute. She's like, well, somebody's gonna save our lives, let's do it. Absolutely. She was a great character for sure.
Oh, it was So she's definitely one of my absolute favorites, man. Mm-hmm. And now what I'm trying to understand too is, and maybe it'll explain it more, like explain a lot more of this, is the concept of the Force, right? Because that was a huge thing in the episode 4, and I know probably and later on in the things as well. But do you know, like, what was the kind of the inspiration behind what the Force was? Like, what was that supposed to be? What's the inspiration behind it? All of that.
Absolutely. A lot of the inspiration behind the Force was taken from the tenets of Zen Buddhism in a lot of ways. Like kind of the dark and the light, the yin and the yang type thing. That's its initial kind of inspiration. The ability to channel energy and like express the Force or project the Force in different ways. That definitely is you see a lot of that in like the tenets of a lot of Eastern religions. That's basically where that concept came from.
Wow. Okay. And is the concept of like, and now this is something that I'm still trying to understand or to really understand is, I guess, because what they've been talking about, and even they mentioned in episode 4, and I know it's more in other ones as well, without spoiling too much for me, I'm noticing that, okay, they were saying that there's like a good side of the Force, right? And this negative side of the Force that some people use, but they said the good side is stronger than the quote unquote bad side, right?
Well, I'll tell you this much. It's not necessarily about what side is stronger. Each side has its strengths. The whole idea behind the Force, and if you'd like to go through the movies, I'm just going to say the whole idea behind the Force is balance. I don't want to say anything else behind else other than that to kind of give away things, but the whole idea behind the Force is balance, a balance between the light and the dark. That's basically what the Force strives for, is balance. When one side gets a little too strong, the other side will kind of do something to offset it, basically.
I gotcha. So it's learning to live with the darkness that's inside of you too.
Yes, exactly.
Huh. Okay, man. Okay, I got so many other questions, but I'll save it for episode 5 because we have more to talk about because I just finished that one.
Yes.
But okay, so now we could get this guy who is, to me, in episode 4, he seemed to be an anti-hero, okay, which is Han Solo.
Han Solo.
What can you tell me about him? Okay, let's not spoil, no spoilers, because, you know, I'm only seeing those films.
Yes.
But in, he's kind of what you call like a reluctant hero, because. Yes,
very much so.
He didn't want to help, because he was like, I'm in this for me. I'm in this for money.
Yes.
And that's it. But why do you think in the end of the film, when he comes back and helps, why do you think he even decides to do that?
I'll tell you exactly why. Because he made friends. He wanted to help his friends. That's basically why. He doesn't care necessarily. Like, I'll tell you right now, he doesn't really care either way about like the Empire or the Rebellion necessarily. He is there to protect the people that he cares about. And whether he would want to admit it or not, this is my personal belief. I think some people might have disagreements with me. Again, this is my opinion. But I feel like ultimately the reason why he went back was, you know, his loyalty to his friends.
Gotcha. So loyalty to his friends made him say, okay, it's not even really what they were fighting for, but just who was fighting. And that's my friend.
Exactly. He's not a man with a lot of principles, like, just, you know, that's the typical anti-hero type thing, but he does care about people.
He does care about the people that are close to him, right? Or what
exactly.
And this is gonna sound, and I know everyone's gonna laugh at me who's Star Wars fans, but what is Chewbacca?
That's honestly a good question that really doesn't get answered in the movies. So that's a fair question. Chewbacca is a Wookiee. And I'll lay down some like nerd facts about like Wookiees and everything like that.
Okay.
Wookiees are these sentient creatures who speak a language that is like in their rumbles and their roars and everything, and they actually live for hundreds of years. Chewbacca in episode 4 is actually around 200 years old, and that's the equivalent of somebody being in their mid-20s.
Oh, wow.
Yes. That's so like he's lived a long time. They're very intelligent beings. It's just that they don't possess the capacity to speak whatever English is in that world. They speak their own language.
Oh wow. So I was trying to figure out how can this creature co-pilot, because I'm like how is this possible right now? And he's just co-piloting, nobody is scared. And no one, I'd be like, can he do this? Is he really? Because I'm like, what is going on right now?
Be in the co-pilot. I'm concerned right now.
Yes.
I'm with you on that. But no, he's actually a very intelligent co-pilot. Him and Han have been together for a long time as well. That goes back to that whole, like, they don't really explain it, but like that goes back to that whole like lived in kind of backstory type thing. You realize that these two have a history. They care a lot about each other as partners, as like also like scoundrels and like smugglers and everything. So like he's been with Han for a while.
Okay. And I do like how I didn't know, and this is going to see, I hate saying this, but I don't know anything. I didn't know that Harrison Ford was in the Star Wars.
Really?
No clue. So
really,
when he came on the screen, wow. I was like, wait, what? He's
like Indiana Jones is in this movie? This is a crossover?
I'm like, what is happening right now to this? What is going on? So that threw me off. But I will say I do like him as this character.
Yes. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this was, let me just double check this real quick. Let's see. I'm going to do a little bit more research on it, and I'll correct myself maybe in the next episode. But I believe this was one of, either this or another movie was like Harrison Ford's breakout role. Well, this one was the one that like sent him to the top. I think he was in another movie before this one.
Yeah.
But I believe this was his breakout like role. Because this came out, I think, a couple years before the first Indiana Jones movie. So I think this was, like, the role that, like, made him a star.
Wow. Yeah, man. Because, I mean, it makes sense because this became, like, a huge franchise. So, yes. You know, in the way he acted, and he came in, like, I want to say, like, halfway in the movie. So you didn't, of course, he wasn't starting on that. So I'm like, okay, so he came through halfway through the film. So that's cool. But I think he did a really, really good job. Now, I have purposely not asked you about this guy yet, but I'm going to ask you about him now.
All right, I've noticed and I know who's coming. All right, let's do this.
So, Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes. Now, one, to give you guys a little backstory. Since I've been about 5 years old, when people find out that my nickname is Obi,
okay. Oh, wow.
They've been saying, hey, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, since I've been 5 years old, I think who? Literally, I don't know who this character is. Okay? So people have been saying, Obi, like Obi-Wan. I had no idea who this character was. Right? Now, I'm realizing, it made me mad because Obi-Wan got killed in episode 4, like the very first film. Okay. So they're comparing me to someone that dies in the very first film. I don't like that. Okay. Number one. But let me ask you, is he really dead? Because even in episode 4, he's helping Luke, you know, telling him to use the Force. You know, and Luke is not even using the goggles anymore. He's like, use the Force to shoot this thing, right? So I'm trying to figure out, is he really dead? Because this would make me mad, okay? Because Obi-Wan seems to be the grandfather or the father or the father-like figure that I really wanted to see in these films going forward, okay? Because I'm really sad right now.
Obi-Wan is a very interesting character. We'll start with that.
Okay.
Obi-Wan is literally the character that passes on the torch in the form of the lightsaber to Luke Skywalker. He is the character who trains, who starts off Luke Skywalker on the path to his training. He's a character who basically tells Luke Skywalker about the Force, about the Clone Wars, about his father. These are all things that he literally just tells Luke Skywalker upon their first meeting. Obi-Wan is not all that he seems. I'll say that much. Is he dead? Short answer, yes.
Okay. Okay. That's
short answer, yes.
We'll stay with the short answer for now, which makes me sad. Okay. But
it's very sad.
But
that's all I'll say right now.
When he fights Darth Vader, okay, which I'm going to show my ignorance to. I really thought it was Dark Vader, but we're going to go with that too, okay? Okay, because...
Believe me, when I first watched the movies, I called him Darth Vader a couple times. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so Darth Vader here, right?
Yes.
What I was confused about was when they were fighting, one, I felt like Obi-Wan could have taken him, but he didn't. Okay, so that made me mad.
Right.
I felt like he gave up. And then two, he tells Darth Vader, if you kill me, I will become like greater or better than I ever was or something like that to that effect.
Right. He says, if you strike me down, I will become more powerful than you could possibly imagine. So that automatically shows you that he is not exactly what seems at face value. When you first look at Obi-Wan, you see this crazy old man who wears a robe and screams at Jawas and screams at sand people.
Yes.
Like, that's what you see. But the thing is, it's a very interesting fact that he's hiding a lot of stuff. And he has his reasons for hiding a lot of stuff, which we can get into in later movies as well.
Okay. So even though he's dead, I will still hear his voice with Luke and everything. Because I guess even though he dies, it seems as if he's a part of the Force.
That's a very good... Yes, absolutely. That's a very good way to look at it.
Because, and so yeah, that's all that you probably can tell me for now, because I'm just starting.
Yeah, I'm like busting at the seams right now. I wish we could talk about all six movies. Like, let's be real. But yes.
Okay.
What you said is not inaccurate.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense. So now with Darth Vader, okay, this character I find very interesting, and I don't want to mix. I may be mixing up 4 and 5, and I don't want to do that. But if I'm mixing up 4 and 5, I'm sorry, listeners, because I know we're only supposed to be doing episode 4.
Right.
It's
honestly, the movies have been out so long, a little bit of like mixing is not like bad. Like, let's be real. I mean, a lot of people who haven't even seen the movies know certain things about these movies, so it's fine. I think it's fine for this.
This whole time, I was thinking that Darth Vader is the man. Then I find out that he's just a lackey. Okay? Yeah. He's someone, like, he was kneeling down to someone, calling them master. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Even in the first movie, even in episode 4, he's a subordinate to the general of the Death Star, if you notice.
Yeah!
General Tarkin is telling him, like, when he chokes the man the other Imperial officer.
Oh, yeah.
In the boardroom. General Tarkin is one that's, he doesn't ask him to, politely. He said, Vader, release him. Like, he just he's very stern with him. And you've got to wonder why that is.
That's exactly what I'm trying to figure out, okay? Because,
again, it's one of those things. I'll say that more than likely, a lot of that had to do with it being the first movie and they were still kind of fleshing out his character. That was a lot, but there are kind of retconned reasons, like kind of like where people went back and there are reasons why that he is in the position that he's in.
Okay. Well,
yes.
Will the relationship between Darth Vader and the general be explored more in any of these films, really? Or is it kind of just there?
Not in the movies. We'll get it, like, and that's something we can get into in, like, one of the, maybe in the overview of maybe the trilogy. That's something maybe we could talk about later. But, like, his relationship with the general, with General Tarkin, is not necessarily laid out. Again, it's why people, it goes back to the whole, like, it allows you to fill in the gaps. But there is an answer to that question, yes.
Man, okay. So that's good. Okay, that's really, really good. Okay, so that makes me more excited about watching episode 6. Okay?
Yes.
Which I'm going to watch sometime this week. I'm going to probably watch that tomorrow, actually. Awesome. So yeah. But needless to say, episode 4. Okay, so as an opening film for me watching Star Wars, it made me want to know more. I will say this. I think I'm low-key a fan.
I'm so glad to hear that, Shelton. And the fact that you said it made you want to know more kind of hits the nail on the head as to why people love this saga so much. Because it answers questions, but at the same time, with every new iteration, with every new episode, with every new TV show, with every new book, with every new comic, it brings new questions as well. And it keeps you thinking, keeps you wondering, keeps you looking for more.
So episode 4, this rebellion, and if the rebels won, or at least they won this battle, okay?
Yes.
At the end of this film, they win this battle. I was rooting for them. I was super excited, okay? And I wanted to know, okay, where do we go from here? Like, where does Luke Skywalker go? I was sad, okay? Obi-Wan, you left, okay? What's going on? It ended kind of sad with some characters, but it made me want to know more about this world and more about this story. You know? So
yeah.
Is that kind of where, like, many people... Like, I want to know, like, for you, when you watched this film, were you, like, more excited about Star Wars after you watched it?
Absolutely, because let me go ahead and like lay it out. When I first watched this movie, when I was little, like I went to a friend's house and they had the VHS collection, and I watched all of the movies then. But this was when I was maybe like 5 or 6,
so
I didn't quite understand what was going on.
Yeah,
it wasn't until my junior year of high school that I went out and I bought the DVD collection of the original trilogy after I had already watched the prequels.
Right.
That I went back and I sat down and I watched these episodes 4, 5, and 6 with new eyes.
Right.
And let me tell you, it made having the previous knowledge helped me appreciate these movies even more.
Right.
And watching episode 4 after the knowledge, even after like watching the previous episodes, made me realize why Star Wars is the phenomenon that it is. I just, like, I get it. Like, 100%, I get it. Like, you know, sometimes you wonder why you like something. Maybe it's just because I watched it when I was little. But no, this was when I was in my late teens, like mid to late teens, that I re-fell in love with Star Wars because of this movie.
See, this movie, and this is where I find it interesting. One of my coworkers, I told him I'm going through the Star Wars, and he's like, man, he just like, I don't like Star Wars. I tried to watch it, don't like it. I watched episode 4 and I was like, I don't like it. And I'm like, how do you watch? Like, he said he finds the movies outside of the original 6. I think he said he likes those.
Right.
But he doesn't like the originals and like the, you know, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. He doesn't like those. So I was like, okay. But when I watched episode 4, I loved it. So I don't get it. I don't understand his dislike for it, because the world itself was fascinating. I know it's older, but even though a movie came out in 1977, I still feel as if that movie could have came out now and still would have been a great story.
The thing that I realized and here's why, when somebody tells me they haven't watched Star Wars or they don't like Star Wars, I don't get offended, because, like, the thing is, when I watch episode 4, when I watch it, it takes about a good 45 minutes for the movie to get started. Like, you have the initial action scene. But you're on that desert planet for a good chunk of the movie, at least a third of the movie, if not more. I think actually half of the movie. So it takes its time. And that kind of slow pacing is probably a big reason why a lot of people really get into it. They're basically spending like a good 30 minutes with just this robot in this trash can. And they're just like, I came here to watch lightsabers. And there's only, and thing is, Shelton, if you remember, there's only one lightsaber battle in this movie, and it's not a very good one.
No.
It's between an old guy and Darth Vader, and both of them don't really know how to use a sword, apparently. Right. So, from an outside perspective, from somebody who hasn't watched Star Wars, I totally get why it might not necessarily be your thing. Now, you telling me that you watching it, and you watching episode 4, and you falling in love with it, that's really encouraging for me to hear, because like you, I see that you understand. I see that you understand why people love it so much. And it's not because of the lightsaber battle. It's not because of necessarily the aliens or the starships. I mean, that's definitely part of it. The lightsabers are a big reason why I'm into it, but it's that search for more knowledge. It's that those questions. And I think that's why you're into it. And that's why I continue to be into it even today.
Yeah, the world, the story, the characters, just all draw me in, and it's all making me want to know more about where their story goes. And that's what I love. And I don't think I can, I don't think that I could have asked for more for an opening film, honestly, making me love these characters. And like I said, I'm very sad Obi-Wan's gone. This is going to hurt me. But I'm hoping that as the movies and everything go on, that I can understand more of Obi-Wan, and I'm thinking that he sacrificed himself for a greater purpose when it comes to Luke and the mission and all the other stuff. So that's literally what I'm thinking, and maybe the films will explain that more as we go along.
That's a very good way of looking at it. I'm trying not to spoil things. I don't think I've done a very good job. But not spoiling things, because when I want to talk about Star Wars, I want to talk about everything all at once. But like, him dying for a greater purpose is a very good way of looking at it, for sure.
Okay, cool. So, like I said, for everyone that's watching it, or listening, I should say, listening to this podcast episode, episode 4, I'm going to give this, if I'm going to rate this out of 10, I'm going to give it, y'all going to laugh at me all you want to. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10, guys. Y'all will sit back and say, Shelton, you're giving it way too high. No, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. Episode 4, and maybe want more. I think that it's an amazing film. That's my rating, 9 out of 10. It's amazing, it's awesome, and it's a great way to start this journey for me personally. So that's my rating for it. You guys can hit me up on my Twitter, my Instagram, whatever, and tell me if you disagree with the rating that I gave episode 4, okay? But that's my rating. If out of 10, 9 out of 10. What do you say, Seamus?
Okay. Don't worry too much. Having seen the movies and having seen all of the different movies and all of the different episodes and having my own personal opinions about all of them, 9 out of 10 isn't a bad score, but it is a little high for me. I would probably rate this movie an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Which is still not bad.
Yeah.
Which is still not bad. But, you know, the movie has pacing issues for sure. But you can't deny that it started what these people we call Star Wars fans love. It introduced us to these characters, to this world, to the story. So having said that, even with the pacing issues and even with, in my opinion, the lack of lightsaber battles, it's still a good 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, and the reason probably why I grade it so high is because I think of it as a great introductory film. So I guess if I was going to compare it out of the whole, like out of all of it, after I watched them all, I may change my rating. But for now, as an introductory film, like it's kind of like how I look at Iron Man. And I know we're not talking about Marvel films, but if I felt like Iron Man was a great introductory character to start the whole MCU. Yes. And so even though I don't think that's the best film in the MCU at all, I don't think it is the best film. But if we're looking at it as an introductory film, I really would give that also like a 9 out of 10 as well.
I would agree with you there for sure. Yeah. Just because of how it, you're not going to get too much into Marvel, but I would absolutely agree with that.
Yes. Exactly. So, man, is there anything else you want to tell the people before we go and anything else you want to mention?
No, but if you're like Shelton and you have not watched these movies, they're very readily available. I'm not going to like endorse any like particular streaming services or anything like that. But they're very readily available, and give them a shot. I'll just say that you may or may, it may or may not be your thing. And if it's not your thing, that is perfectly fine. I am glad it's Shelton's thing. I'm glad it's my thing. And I'm glad it's a lot of people that I care about's thing. So I would just say, give these movies a shot. And just like Shelton said, like maybe if you want to get in contact with the podcast and let us know your thoughts, I would be more than happy to hear them as well.
Exactly. And of course, from all of you guys, if you're especially for you guys that are huge Star Wars fans, you're like, man, Shelton, you should have talked about this, or man, Shelton, I wish you would have talked about this episode before. Let me know, man. Hit me up on the Anchor app, man. You can always leave voice memos on Anchor app and let me hear your thoughts. You can always hit me up on Instagram as well, on Singing Boy, at Singing Boy 12 on Instagram. You can always hit up the weird, it's actually not the, but Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. That's on Instagram. You can hit me up on that. You can always hit me up on my Twitter as well. I'm doing all this. It's Singing Boy 12, but this is the 12 is actual the numbers, 1-2 on my Twitter. I also have a Twitter for the podcast as well, Weird Pastor's Kid as well. So you can always hit me up on any of those things. Let me know how you feel about this particular episode. And trust me, we're going to continue on this journey. It's only episode 1 of this journey, talking about episode 4. We're going to keep on going for everything else, though, man. So if you listen to this podcast and you're like, wow, that guy is super weird, you're absolutely right. Listen to the podcast and, man, he's really a pastor's kid. You are absolutely right as well. This is the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. Thank you for listening.